And Father, we stand complete in your presence this day. Father, may this word glorify your name now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's turn to John 16, verse 33. And we're calling this today, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have tribulation. Do you know why? Because the world is fallen. It's in sin. And that's why. And the Lord said, you're not going to avoid it. You will have tribulation. But what will be the marked difference from the world? I will be with you. And I will not leave you nor forsake you. And every one of us here around this table and all those who are coming into the room have all experienced where the Lord has brought us through trial and tribulation. You are a witness and a testimony. And that's what makes our walk so powerful and effective. You may not be aware, but the world looks on and thinks, how do they come through? How can they remain positive? How can they still smile? How can they still worship and follow a God who can do this to them when it looks as though he's left them and forsaken them and they look stupid? You see? We know this because God has made it so clear, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You see? And this is why we learn the word of God. This is why we get into the word of God. This is why we hear the word of God. Because the word of God is working with us, his mind, his wisdom, his knowledge that the world cannot understand. We spoke on this, didn't we, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 last time. The wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world are like fire and water. And that is why we look foolish to the world. And that's why for a season, it always looks as though it's going against us, doesn't it? We're the targets. And there are times when you cry out, Lord, are you going to be on my side or not? It looks as though you've left me. I'm looking ridiculous, foolish. They're having the upper hand. They're laughing. They're jeering. Do you know it? I can't be the only one that's gone through this. Why? Because we're dealing with the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world, which is of the enemy because he's still the God of this world at the moment. And the two clash. And the mind of God says, I'm going to just let the wisdom of the world, let's let them have their say. Let them just ridicule. Let them just do what they do. And then I will show who really is boss, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you can get that understanding in your mind, you will begin to approach your trials and tribulations differently. So let's look at John 16, verse 33. You know this very well. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Amen. Wonderful verse to underline. I mean, it really, really is. It's such a blessing. These things I've spoken to you. What is he doing? He's speaking right now through the anointing. So, without excuse, I'm speaking it to you, he's saying. In me, you have peace. Not your peace. He says, in me. I am your peace. Part of your salvation and redemption is God has imparted his peace. Shalom. What does that mean? It means a peace that not moved or affected by anything or anyone or any situation, any person, whatever. He is peace. He is at perfect peace. It is a peace where he has everything under complete control. And he says, I impart that to you through reconciliation. So that is the first thing to remember. I have his peace imputed to me. It is with my salvation. That is what he says. So in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. So he doesn't say, in the world you have my peace. He says, in the world you have tribulation. Even though we are not part of the world, we are simply passing through. Our heart is not in this world. He says, in this world you have tribulation or trials, or the trials of your faith. But those who have received his peace, he says, be of good cheer. And he gives another blessing, promise. I have overcome the world. Which means I have overcome all your trials, all your tests, everything that the devil lies and deceives, that he tries to get you to believe. He says, I have overcome all that. That is why Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. It's done. Now, in the Greek, it's interesting what it means when Jesus said, finished, it's done. It means several things. It means first, judicially, you have served your sentence. It's done. It's finished. You're free to go. Who served the sentence? Not you. Christ. You're free to go. Am I? Yes. The law doesn't have anything against you anymore. It also means that you are free of your debt. You were in debt. You owed a massive amount. Couldn't even pay it. But somebody has paid that on your behalf. Jesus. And so they have said, you have no debt. You're free. Completely free. Are you beginning to understand what Jesus said, when it's finished, it's done? He paid the price of the law. The law that pronounced us and judged us, that nobody could keep. Israel could not keep the law. This is why the law in its nature was a tutor to teach them to come to grace. And he said, it's finished, it's done. I have paid the price, what sin has done through the first Adam. He is now the second Adam. And he could confidently say that, and after that, he gave up the ghost and bowed his head. It's done. It's finished. You cannot add any more to it. You cannot take from it. You cannot do whatever. And you've got people today who try and bind themselves under the law. I'm dealing at present online. There's a revival going on of reviving the Mosaic law. And they're saying that the Mosaic law is valid today. And they give all spiel it all off where it's holy and so forth. Of course the law is holy. Old Testament is holy. Who gave the law? Who gave the revelation in the Old Testament? Exactly. God, who is holy. So what are you trying to prove? And what does holy mean? It means to be separated, sanctified, set apart unto God. Hallelujah. And can you see the confusion? Can you see where the devil uses it? Oh, well, it's holy. What God gave Moses on Mount Sinai is holy. Of course it is. But they couldn't keep it. They perished in the wilderness. And here they want to revive this. The devil is so busy. And I've just put out that word, that Greek word, finish. I'd explain exactly what it means in three areas when it is finished, it's done. And the point is, they have never come to the cross where their sin has been dealt with. Because when your sin has been dealt with at the cross, you cannot help but fall on your knees and praise and thank God it is finished. Finished. Amen. I am now reconciled. Sin no longer has a hold, dominion over me. I'm now no longer in the first Adam, but found in the second Adam. The Son of Man, now glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's raised a new humanity. And that's why this old flesh cannot take on heaven. It has to be anew, his glorified body, the forerunner that's gone before to prepare the way. And so Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. And so this understanding of peace then, he says, is a peace that the work of Christ in which we enter into by faith. This is why we appropriate everything by faith. We simply believe what God says in his word, and we don't question or argue with it or try to change it. And of course, you need to go online to see these debates that go on, the arguing, the bickering, the questioning. And what you know is they have never met Christ. They've never been to the cross to be reconciled. And it is tragic. You can see it. They are not receiving from above. And that is the problem. And the second thing with this word peace is that peace from God, which draws us out of the world. This is not a peace that the world knows about. It is a peace that God gives us and draws us away from the world. In other words, it draws our love and affection from this world. Why is, you see, God sometimes will allow you for a season to go back into the world or to have a taste of it because you're questioning or you've got problems or you've fallen out with God. Or whatever it would be. And you realize you're going into the world. And one of the things that you notice, there's no peace that's attached to it. It's strife. It's bickering, arguing, lying, cheating. And you then wake up and think, I cannot be part of that. I don't want my life in that. All these false promises and all these politicians give, lying out of their mouths and everything, the people being duped, deceived. That isn't peace. So that's another reason why we receive of this peace. And thirdly, that this peace is an inward peace. It's a peace that deals with all anxieties, worries, confusions, and everything. You see, when you start to become anxious and worried, you are not drawing from the Prince of Peace. And the enemy tries to keep us in that environment of anxiety and whatever, because he knows that faith can't operate in that. Faith has to have peace in which to believe. You see? You cannot bring a child up in an environment where there's all anxiety, turmoil, arguing, bickering, and so on. We know, and it's not medical science, that children suffer as a result of that. And we have what we have today in the world. They need a stable environment, an environment of love and peace, where they can develop and grow. That is not rocket science. So that is thirdly another reason why God gives us this peace. We know in the millennium, when Christ comes to rule and reign, what is he going to do? He's going to come with him to bring peace, the Prince of Peace, to rule upon the earth. At the moment, all we hear is a false peace. They're trying to create world peace. That's all you're hearing now at the moment. And with all of them meeting together and Trump gone over into the Middle East and everything, we're promoting, we're working peace. And what does the Word of God says? They will say peace, peace, peace. Then destruction will come. So God is going to let them, and it's going to look as though they've worked to peace. Wow! The Antichrist comes on the scene. Look what I've achieved. I've achieved world peace. But at what expense? It's of wrong peace. It's not the Prince of Peace. And then the sudden destruction will come, and the tribulation and great tribulation will then take place. And the world will begin to see that they have been deceived by this false peace. That's why the Apostle Paul said there are many antichrists on the scene at the moment. These leaders who are all promoting peace reveal the Antichrist spirit. Call it for what it is. It's what the Bible calls it, you see. It's what they're revealing. But what does he say to those who overcome? Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:7, we're still talking about we will have tribulation in the world. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Revelation 2, verse 7, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. There you are. Christ, partake of him. He's the center of everything. It will all, whatever you look at, whatever it is, it all comes back to him. Even he created the heavens and the earth, the creator. That's why you see we're in continual warfare. We're in warfare with the physical. Some of us are being attacked physically. Some of us at times are attacked mentally or in the mind, how he tries to work with those fiery darts. Some of us go through trials of morality or spiritual areas in our life that God's cleaning us up. He's all the while delivering us. He's doing a whole work in body, soul and spirit. That is the gospel I have held to and confessed to and believed ever since God has called me. A whole work, body, soul, spirit. It's not just part. It's a complete work. And it's on the basis of simply believing. Don't try and look for evidence. It's not there in the natural. And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. You see? And when you settle this, when you settle all of this, that peace is ministered to you. And then when you go through the trials and tribulations, yes, outwardly they can hurt. Yes, physically it can hurt. I'm not saying it's not. But what it can't do, it cannot touch you in the heart. That is where you are protected, you are preserved. For out of the heart are the issues of life. The heart is right with God, therefore the mind will be able to overcome those fiery darts of the enemy. You see? Because they both work together. If your heart isn't right, then you're going to battle in the mind. And Satan gets access. He is a master at knowing the mind. Far more than we are. He's a master. He's observed and studied your mind the moment you took your first breath. He has analysed and studied you and said, right, I know exactly where to attack. I know what I can do. And he'll use the third and fourth generations of oppression in our family where he'll see he can work that oppression that was in your grandparents, their parents and their parents. That's why you can see often these things come through the line. Until Christ saves us and the sword of the Spirit comes down and severs the serpent. That he can no longer oppress anymore. Isn't it wonderful, our salvation? And then we're in a different battle. Then the enemy tries to tell you, you're not delivered. You're still like your mother. But see, these are lies, you see. They're lies of the enemy. And we know that we are a new creation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's why you see, he now begins to work with us. He begins to clean us up. He begins to deal with what you're eating. He's not going to have you eating junk food. Why? Because proper food is part of your physical health. Mm-hmm. And we need physical health in which to walk with God to maintain. He's going to deal with every area. He's going to deal with where he's not going to let us sit down all day and do nothing. He'll deal with that lazy spirit because he's built us in which to move and work. We have muscles that we have to keep moving, working with and so on. None of it's rocket science. He's very practical how he works. He's going to keep us occupied mentally. He's going to keep us working with these hands. He's not going to let us live on a computer or on our phones like most do today. He's going to make sure you're going to work with your hands practically as well. These are all the areas that keep us whole in mind, body and spirit, you see. And that's why you see when people at times come for physical healing, when you're in ministry or whatever it is, you have to sometimes dig and find out what's causing this. There could be something, you see. And if you can't find anything, well, it doesn't matter. It's still by faith, by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. But sometimes my observation in just counseling, I've suddenly seen something and I thought, right, that's where the enemy's in, you see. He's got in and that's why they can't get healed or delivered or so forth. And often the Holy Spirit will highlight it. He highlights it in your own life as you spend time with him and in prayer. It is amazing how the Holy Spirit will highlight something and think, oh gosh, yes. Wow, I hadn't seen it like that. Praise God. And then the healing comes. The deliverance comes. The peace in the mind comes. Or whatever it is, you see. That's why I keep saying we're all in the process of being healed, being delivered, coming through. This is why he leaves us in this world, you see. For that purpose. So that we can see the mighty hand of God working, bringing us through. This is why I say we are a miraculous people. We serve a miracle God. There's so many Christians, it doesn't occur to them that God is a miracle working God. They're doing it all themselves, striving, trying to do it, and so on. What bondage? What is the point of being saved? God is God. We're dealing with eternity. We're dealing with God who has made the heavens and the earth. No beginning, no end. You cannot even comprehend what he is. We're just scratching the surface. And it doesn't occur to some Christians that that's who we're worshipping and following, you know? But praise God, he's the same yesterday, today, and for always. And that's why we maintain that good strength physically, spiritually, and so on, so that we fight the good fight of faith. We press on. And what does this, as I bring this to a close? It is the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is what maintains us. This is what keeps us moving forward. This is what keeps us defying everything that the enemy tries to throw against us. And boy, he tries. He'll throw the book sometimes. He really will. And yet, here we go. We find I've come through. I don't know how this mountain was cast down, but it's gone. It was a huge obstacle yesterday. It's not there today. Don't try and work it out. Don't work it out. Let's have that childlike faith and trust in Almighty God and let him do the rest as he teaches us his word and his ways, and he renews our minds, having the mind of Christ. See, that's what the enemy doesn't like. He doesn't like your minds being renewed. Why? Because that's where he loses the hold. He has no other access. He can't touch your heart. That's between you and God. That's the new birth. But what he will try is to the mind. And that's why I've said, you confess every morning, I have the mind of Christ this day. I have it. That is your confession. Hear yourself confess it. Confess these promises before you even get out of bed. They're yours in Jesus' name. Remind the devil and demons that you are a new creation in Christ. And when you find a trial or a situation comes, or suddenly you open a letter and you think, oh, that's the last thing I want to read, you know. I have the mind of Christ. I have his peace. Speak the word over it, as negative as it looks, because it won't last. It's only for a season, and it will pass. See, that's the wonderful thing about it. See, the devil wants to think it's going to last forever. And it doesn't. It doesn't. And I know some of you are going through trials. I'm very aware of it. I am your pastor. That doesn't make me any special, but one of the things pastors do have, they have the heart of intercession. And God does alert you to the bleats of the sheep, the cries that they make. The same as a mother with a child, she knows those different cries. See, it's just that sensitivity of the spirit. And of course, we too pray one for another as well, that we may be healed. Praise God. There we are. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and I have given you my peace. That's what God says. Amen. Through this land, deliverance in their souls and healing in their hands, everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. In this army I've got a part. Oh, God's got an army marching through this land, deliverance in their souls and healing in their hands, Everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. In this army I've got a part. Oh, God's got an army marching through this land. Deliverance in their soul and healing in their hands. Everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. In this mountain.